This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ooh, it was a Monday. Oh, was it a Monday for you? Like, a Monday, you know what I mean? A manic Monday or a Monday full of mania? Those two words appropriately describe my life right now. My gosh, it was a Monday. It seemed like every single thing I touched that could be dropped or spilled, I dropped and spilled it. How many times I inadvertently knocked something over in my new kitchen where right now there's not much room to operate. I did manage to clean another section of the counter and I washed dishes for the first time. And the refrigerator is sparkling, sparkling clean. How many tweets and Facebook posts I got today about refrigerators? I appreciate your empathy. Today, the very last bracket, which held the bottom shelf and then the drawers underneath it, that large bracket that's at the bottom of the fridge, I took it outside with a hose and a scrub brush and my yellow gloves. And it took still a full 45 minutes to get that bracket alone clean. I tell you what, it had to be eggs. Eggs and whatever other crusted food. Many of you have asked me why I didn't hire someone. Because no one that I hire, well, I don't spend money to do things, to pay for people to do things I can do myself. I don't pay people to do my yard work. I can do it myself. Someday, there will be a point in my life in which I am too old to do yard work. But it is not this day. Same thing with cleaning a refrigerator. After taking one look at it and really understanding how bad it was, I would never want anyone else to do that. And furthermore, they would never spend 3+ hours on a refrigerator.
Ooh, oh.
3+ hours on a refrigerator. And I threw away the sponge. I threw away the scrub brush. I used an entire roll of paper towels. Yeah, I was... It was quite the project, but it is sparkling clean now. Thank you for caring. That was the momentous moment of my Monday. It really was. Otherwise, I went grocery shopping. This is how you know it's bad. This is how you know you're weary and you've been doing a lot. Well, in my case, for the last 4 weeks, nonstop moving and packing and moving and packing.
It's time to have some fun.
I wish. It's not been that much fun, I got to tell you. For those of you who've moved before, you definitely understand. And the majority of it, probably 80% of the move, I did solo. I have done solo. So, yeah, I am counting the hours until vacation, which will start on Friday morning as soon as the show is over. Probably by the time we get closer to it, I will be much giddier. I'm too tired to be giddy now. So here's what I want to do on this edition of the show. I want to talk about ice cream. Hope you don't mind. No more disgusting refrigerators. Now I can actually put food like ice cream in my freezer and I can put food in my refrigerator and feel as though it's safe. But ice cream. This time last week, and I've told so many people about this topic on our show. This time last week, we talked about craziest burger toppings that you have ever tried. And the most popular answer, there were some wild answers, but the most popular answer was peanut butter. So to that end, now I do not know if Chris or Dave or a couple of other people we recruited Like Bob Usler, who does our updates at the bottom of the hour. We'll ask him. We talk to him. If anybody else has done the peanut butter burger challenge yet, but I have recruited multiple people to join us in the peanut butter burger challenge. Andrew Bogish, he's also part of it, does the updates in our final hour. This Monday included me buying all of the meat and trappings for a cookout this weekend. So my entire family will be here on Friday into Saturday. So my brother and his family are driving up on Friday. Yay. I'm going to have to keep cleaning until then. And my mom and her husband are flying in from Houston on Saturday. And so with the whole family descending and with right now not very many restaurants open, they're open for takeout and for curbside, but there aren't very many restaurants in my area that have outdoor seating. And so we're going to be doing the outdoor seating thing on my patio. So I went today and I bought burgers and Italian sausage and buns and all the other stuff that go along with the burgers. I already had peanut butter. So this weekend, I'll see if I can recruit my family to try the peanut butter burger challenge. So that was last week for our Twizzler Tuesday question. You know, we do this on our second show of the work week. We say goodbye to Monday and we say hello to a Tuesday. Oh, that echoed. It echoed around the empty super secret office. And so tonight we're going to do ice cream just because ice cream makes me happy. I heard the ice cream truck in my neighborhood today. Lots of kiddos were excited and running after the ice cream truck. And yeah, it seems like if I talk about my pets or if we talk about food, people are happy. Otherwise, it's all complaining and griping and pointing fingers and social media mob fest. So I'm needing a break from all of that. And I'm excited to talk about ice cream. I hope that you are too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This used to be a sports show. Stick to sports, they say. Wait, what? We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. For those of you who are weary about the lines that are completely blurred between politics and social issues and then social issues and sports, I understand. I do everything I possibly can to avoid politics on the show. And I don't believe that social issues need to be political. I know that that's very often how they are spun, but they do not need to be political. Regardless of which side of the aisle you are on, you can still care about human beings and equal rights and social justice and all of those things. It's about people. It's not about Republican or Democrat or independent or conservative or liberal or left wing or right wing. I don't care about your politics. I don't have a lot of political discussions outside of my personal circle because I know it's dangerous. You never know who you're going to be having a conversation with. And so I generally don't have those conversations with people unless I know we already have a relationship of trust where they know where I'm coming from. But you don't need to talk politics to be able to care about people. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. People are what matter, not the side of the aisle that you're on. I think it's great when people are passionate about their political bent or passionate about their political views. Not so much that they crowd out other views and expect that everyone needs to believe the way that they do or to hold the same views that they do. That's not who we are as a people. And isn't that right now what we're trying to get rid of? Making everyone uniform. Everyone needs to be the same color and have the same views and come from the same place and speak the same language. That's what we're trying to get rid of right now. So I believe that diversity, which includes our political views and our political, passions, our diversity is what makes us stronger. So I do all I can to avoid politics because they're such a hot button issue. And because I don't think they need to have as much to do with sports as some people would make them out to be. Now, I know, again, there are times when they cross, and certainly social issues for sure, because sports are a microcosm of real life, I like to say. But I need a break from all of it. And so ice cream it is. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here is the Twizzler Tuesday question. I know many of us are still on our Mondays, but dear Lord, I am ready to get rid of this Monday and put it in my rearview mirror. I should have gotten ice cream. That might have made it better. I did drive by a Dairy Queen. Oh, that sounds so good right now. A blizzard. What are your... You know how much we love lists as sports fans? Well, we used to be sports fans. What are your top three ice cream toppings? And yes, they need to be listed in order. Top three ice cream toppings. As if someone just asked you your top three athletes of all time, your top three champions of all time, your top three teams of all time, all those lists that I can't stand. What are your top three ice cream toppings of all time? It's going to be a tough one. I know it. Just like the conversation about burger toppings and peanut butter. I'll bet we're going to get some peanut butter answers. I think that might be something that we'll see. Peanut butter in ice cream is usually pretty delicious too. So pretend you're putting together a sundae or you're putting together a blizzard. If you want it all mixed up, your top three ingredients to make the perfect sundae. Oh, this is really bad though, because now I'm going to want some ice cream. Okay, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, I post a photo of my dog conked out in an empty room, and it gets 1,000 people to to like it and to weigh in. So see what I mean? We are all anxious for something completely different than what we've had over the last couple of weeks. There certainly is a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of effort going into the things that matter and the serious discussions taking place around our nation. But I also recognize that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy and
number
June
three,
a dull girl.
Number two. Number one.
The voice God is on our side. And so we're going to take a break from serious, heavy discussions for the most of this show. Now, I'm excited for you to hear my conversation with Randy Cross, who's a College Football Hall of Famer, as well as a three-time Super Bowl champion from the San Francisco 49ers, and caught up with him recently. And he's fun. He's a lot of fun and has a lot of wisdom and experience to draw on for football. Football's still in a really good spot. There are a lot of speculation and predictions and models and projections about where we could be and how we could get there by the time football starts. But as we spoke about with Matt Adams from the Golf Channel on Monday morning, it's our final segment of our last show. Every sport that rejoins the fray, every sport that jumps into the arena again, has the opportunity to see what has worked and what hasn't worked before it. And so golf had the benefit of seeing what NASCAR has been doing and even what UFC has been doing. And now Major League Baseball, or not, the NBA, the NHL, and then following all of that, the NFL, if we're talking pro sports, MLS, same thing. Football's in a good spot, which is why right now so much of the football conversation is not about football, because they're in a spot where it doesn't need to be about football. They've got plenty of time. So a friend of mine who covers one of the NFL teams, he's a beat reporter, weirdly enough, is doing his job remotely. He said it's about to be really, really slow. I mean, it's been tougher to do the job because media can't be at the facilities. Players aren't at the facilities for the most part. Only coaches are at the facilities. And so it's been difficult to try to cultivate sources and also come up with the news and make sure that you can confirm the news and you can cross-check and fact-check. But it's about to be the dead period in the NFL. And so, yeah, they could spend all the time in the world talking about politics and social issues, because right now football is not of the essence. Time is not of the essence for actual football. Different for Major League Baseball. Different for the NBA, the NHL. Although quietly, Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, he seems to be extremely confident that they're moving forward and they're on target and they're in the early phases of getting the game back on the ice. And of all the commissioners right now, he seems the most supremely confident and ready to go. Now, that could be all an act, but the NFL has quietly gone about its business over the course of these last several months. So we'll let you hear a little bit from Rob Manfred, his comments. They weren't live on ESPN on Monday evening. They were recorded a few hours before the special aired. I'm not sure why. Maybe his social calendar is extremely busy. But maybe it was about, you know, him wanting to be sure, or ESPN wanting to be sure they had time to put everything together. So Rob Manfred talking about the latest with the baseball season and going backward on what he said a week ago, which is that he was 100% confident that there would be a baseball season. He said that to Tom Verducci. We played the cut multiple times. In fact, we could even find the cut for you so you can hear it, but it wasn't that long ago. It's hard to forget. Well, that's not the case anymore, but I bet you're not surprised. So we will get into that, as well as the latest with the NBA. I mean, there's still a major faction of players who are not sure this is what they want to do. And Adam Silver, in his kind of quiet way, he recognizes that that's still an issue with the health and the safety. And so they're watching and listening as well. So it's slow. The process is slow. There's no other way to do it to try to ensure safety. But I do love that we've had a couple sports back and that there's been a safe environment that's been created. So that gives me hope and ice cream. On Twitter, on Facebook, top three things that you'll put on your ice cream. Things is the technical word. But I can't say top three and then say toppings. Your best three toppings, your favorite three, your big three toppings. I'm going to get it right so it doesn't sound awkward. By the end of the show, I promise. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Fly ball deep down the right field line. If it's fair, it is gone, and it is gone. A home run. Bellinger with a home run. His 45th of the year and his first home run in his last 13 games. And the Dodgers lead 6-4.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I think I miss baseball play-by-play more than I miss the actual baseball. Does that sound weird? Of course it does. Everything I say on tonight's show is going to be weird. I'm just going to admit that up front. Either you can deal with it or you can't, and that's fine. I understand that it's just part of the business. And so I miss the soundtrack of summer that baseball play-by-play
is weird.
Thank you. I miss the soundtrack of summer that baseball play-by-play is. And we are now inside of a week until summer officially begins, which is another reason why ice cream toppings is such a great topic. Wait until you see the fun photo that Dave put up on Facebook. Yums. I see the gummy bears. I see you, gummy bears. Can I just tell you, no matter what other toppings I have on my ice cream, and there are many that I enjoy, gummy bears. And then they freeze, and you have to be careful you don't crack a tooth. Chris, what did you crack a tooth on? A bagel?
It was a crouton.
A crouton, just as good. How is that tooth, by the way? It's all.
It is gone.
The whole tooth is gone?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess you don't have to worry about cracking it on frozen gummy bears then.
It saved me a, what are those called? When you get your wisdom teeth extracted, it saved me one of those.
A surgery?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, when you have that surgery, though, you do get to eat ice cream. I had it, and it was pretty bad. In fact, the stitches came out on Christmas Day. I had it during a break from college basketball. We had a really short window, so I had to do it 2 days before Christmas because we had a college basketball tournament not that long after Christmas, so I had to go back to campus. And I remember I thought we were all set, and then on Christmas Day, somehow a couple of the stitches came out, and it bled. The area, it was not healed. It bled for 8 hours. I finally had to go have had emergency stitches put in on Christmas Day.
8 hours? Wait a minute. Can we backtrack about 5-6 seconds here? It bled for 8 hours?
Yeah. Like, it wouldn't stop. I just kept going through gauze, and I kept, like, I tried. We called the dentist office, like, the emergency hotline, and he said, just put gauze in there, and eventually it will stop. And it never did. We just kept soaking through. I mean, it wasn't gushing blood, but it never stopped for 8 hours. We did our Christmas celebration. We opened gifts. This is when I was living in New Hampshire. And I remember it was miserable. It was painful. We just kept changing out the gauze. And finally, in the early afternoon on Christmas Day, we had to call and have a dentist, whoever the emergency on-call dentist was, to redo the stitches. It was terrible.
I think if you can go through that, you might be able to make it through like an NFL anything. Training camp workout or something like that. You might be ready. Second career coming in.
Oh my gosh. It was terrible. Sometimes I forget about that story, and then people mention their wisdom teeth and it all comes rushing back.
Gauzes and croutons. That's the theme of tonight's show.
Oh gosh. And on that note, let's have some ice cream. I'm just saying, ice cream is great when you get your wisdom teeth out because it's the cold is really good on the areas where you'd had the surgery. It's the incentive, I guess. Similar to when you get your tonsils out, they tell kiddos, oh, you get your tonsils out, you get to eat a lot of ice cream. Oh, I have no idea. This show could ruin me. This could be the last show I ever do if the boss hears any of this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin is listening in Arkansas. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, thanks for taking my call. I'm your number one truck driver fan. I listen to you every night except for Thursday nights when I'm home asleep. But
nice. I'm jealous.
So ice cream. I don't think you could talk about toppings without addressing flavors first because every topping doesn't go with every flavor. But it's hard for me to
fine,
pick out
my, make it scientific. Why don't you?
Well, it's hard for me to pick out my third favorite because there's just so many. I've got a top two, but my third's going to vary. And so we can just use a homemade vanilla bluebell as a base, and you can pretty much go anything on top of that. And I've done peanut butter. I've done peanut butter and jam. I've done just straight jam, and some of my favorites are blackberry and strawberry. And then, of course, you can just do nuts or, you know, anything else.
Wait, but, hold on. You take it out of the fridge, the jam, and just spread it over the ice cream?
Yes.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, strawberry or blackberry are two of my favorites. Huh. But one thing I've also done, and I don't know if anybody else does this, but cinnamon and honey.
Huh.
Cinnamon and honey on homemade.
I've never done that either.
Yeah. Hey, you ought to try it. But anyway, so my second favorite topping is probably going to be the hot caramel.
For sure.
And again, you're going to have to, you know, I got rules. So
hold on. Okay. I have a rule too. This is an argument I have with my mother all the time. Say it again. What's the name of the topping?
Hot caramel.
Caramel. Okay, there is an extra A in there. And I'm constantly telling my mother it's caramel, Mom. And she's from Northeast Ohio, which, you know, she calls it the Midwest. I don't know that it's the Midwest, but she calls it the Midwest. She's like, that's it. She calls soda pop. and she calls it caramel. I'm like, Mom, that's a town. That's not a sweet topping for your ice cream, but she insists.
It depends on where you're from. I'm from Texas, so it's caramel. But anyway, so caramel, you know, you can use on pretty much almost any ice cream, except for fruit ice cream.
Right.
I don't think caramel goes good with strawberry or cherry. The only thing I think I would go with caramel would be like a peach, because then you're kind of reminiscent of maybe a peach cobbler type of thing going on there. But, well, you don't go, that doesn't sound good to you?
I mean, if I'm going to go peach cobbler, I'm just going to go peach cobbler. Probably not like a faux peach cobbler with a caramel ice cream.
Oh, no, I'm talking about like a peach vanilla with a little caramel drizzle on top. Huh. But anyway, you know, caramel you can use on most nut ice creams, you know, your butter brickles or your pecan pralines and cream and stuff like that.
Pecan, you mean?
No, I mean pecan from Texas. all right, so anyway, number one, this is obviously hot fudge. Hot fudge you can use on anything. It pretty
you
much
can.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't care. You can use hot fudge on a pickle. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep, yep, yep. So that's my number one, hot fudge. Number two, caramel on pecan ice cream. And number three, pretty much anything.
What? Hey, no, number three can't be pretty much anything.
No, yeah, it can. Yeah, it can, because there's just too many of them to choose. I'm not going to limit myself to only three.
All right. But, it's a show question.
Try that cinnamon and honey.
All right.
All right, thanks, Amy.
All right, Kevin. Thank you for making me laugh. Yes, I have that argument with my mom all the time about caramel and caramel. And then I have friends who get so mad at me for saying pecan. What did you just say? Pecan, pecan. No, it's so, I do it on at times just to annoy them. It's so fun.
Pajamas or pajamas?
Pajamas.
Okay, so I think I go pajamas.
You do. Does that mean you're bougie if you say pajamas?
I'm so impressed that you remembered bougie. So many.
Well, last night I couldn't. You remember last night I was trying to find the word and all I could come up with was fugazi, and I'm like, that's definitely not it.
No, those two mean they. Almost polar opposites, almost to a certain extent. No, but you recovered nicely. It's all about how you, it's like sports. You got to pick up and play the next day's game, and you got it this time.
Did you try peanut butter burger yet?
Not yet. I'm working on it. I will have tried it. I want to talk to Dave because I want to see if we can collectively do something for this. So I want to make either a video or something on social media so that the people can have a little something.
Oh, yeah. So it would be great if you slathered the peanut butter all over the bread, and then as you were taking a bite, it was dribbling out the back of the burger. I think that would be so great.
Ooey gooey messy, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The messier the better right now. It's almost that time of year. Okay, so I do promise Rob Manfred is no longer 100% confident that there will be a season. I mean, please make me roll my eyes. Bob Uessler is with us from his super secret home base. Bob, guess what? Can you hear the echo? There's nothing I can do about it now. There's really just me and the dog and my work equipment left in the super secret home base.
You know, you are actually sounding resonant. Very good. Very good.
Resonant. What a great word.
But I know there should be that echo. I'm not hearing it. You're coming through loud and clear.
I'm
nice.
So glad. Okay, so you get to answer the question, too. Have you tried the peanut butter burger yet?
Here's what happened. This is the story. There is a story. I always have to complicate it, right? had the burger the other day, had it out. I used one of those George Foreman things. And I went for the peanut butter, and it wasn't chunky. I'm going to do it with the chunky peanut butter.
Was this your way of stalling?
I did stall, yes. But huh. I'm not kidding. I'm going to get chunky peanut butter. I need some substance.
So you actually want a nutty burger. You don't just want the peanut butter spread. You want a peanut butter nutty burger.
When I do this, I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it all out?
All out and make sure that I give myself the best chance of success here. it's risk-taking.
This is. I like it. I like the fact that we're getting you out of your comfort zone. It's fantastic. So, as I mentioned a little while ago, my whole family is converging on my new house this weekend. It's a total disaster. They may never visit again, but they're coming. And so we're having a cookout, and I'm going to do the peanut butter burger, and I highly doubt I'm going to be able to convince any of them to try, but I'm going to do it this weekend. So I will have a full report this time next week.
We shall compare notes.
Okay. Mine's going to be creamy peanut butter though.
By the way, I'm thinking out loud here. I have to use a grill. I can't do that. I like the steamer, you know, like I said, the George Foreman thing. That's not going to work too well if I bring it down on peanut butter. I'll need a sandblaster to clean that thing.
I'm doing a charcoal grill like I always do, and then I'm spreading the peanut butter on the bun.
That's the way to go.
Okay.
I like that. Where I live, the grills are prohibited, but we'll use the old-fashioned frying pan. We'll get it done.
Yeah, no, I know you will. I believe you. You can stall as long as you want, but I'm coming for you, Bob.
Oh, I know.
All right, good to talk to you. I will, we'll talk to you again soon, but you promise, so you can't back out on this now.
Promise. Nope. I'm not going back on this.
Okay, cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Rob Manfred, guaranteed to make you roll your eyes straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bryant drives one in the air, deep left field. This ball could leave the yard. Long gone. Get out the tape measure for Chris Bryant. Cubs lead 1-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Pat Hughes on the Cubs radio network, and then last segment, Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers radio network. I do miss it. I miss baseball play-by-play, maybe more than I miss the actual baseball, which sounds funny, but right now, the way this is going back and forth between the owners and the Players Association, it's gotten so ugly that I can't take any more of the ugly. There's too much ugly in the world as it is. I don't need it in my sports. And honestly, that statement is not figurative. Have we figured out in many cases that we can live without baseball? We sure have. We've made it this far. So have they. And they're willing to forfeit the entire season if that's what it takes. Neither side has called the other side's bluff. And here we are in the middle of June. The days keep going by. The barbs keep getting sharper. The two sides keep digging in their heels even deeper. And as I said in my CBS Sports Minute to start the week, as I said on the show, I'm past the point at which I care about your feelings and your emotions and your frustrations and your anger and your social media posts and your money. You've made it very clear what matters most to you. Both sides have made it very clear what matters most to them is money. Great. Well, I don't care about your money any more than you care about my money. You want my money. But it's clear that your priority is not being part of the healing process. Your priority is not getting back on the field. No, the priority is money. Bottom line. And just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it does. So it wasn't even a week ago that Rob Manfred did an interview with Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated, and we got this guarantee from him.
We're going to play baseball in 2020, 100%, if it has to be under the March 26th agreement, if we get to that point in the calendar, so be it. But one way or the other, we're playing Major League Baseball.
One way or the other, we're playing Major League Baseball. Now, do I still believe that is accurate? Yes, I do. I do believe that that's an accurate statement because the players have said, just tell us when and where, and we will show up. Just tell us when you want to start, how many games we're going to play, what health and safety protocols, and we'll do it. We're ready to get this show on the road. Now, they believe that what Rob Manfred said on Monday night on ESPN to Mike Greenberg, who was hosting this SportsCenter special with the commissioners, they believe that what he said on Monday night was actually disingenuous. But as you can imagine, since it wasn't even a week after he guaranteed that there would be baseball, for him to backtrack on TV and to have it be so public a retraction, well, he got hammered for it. And he's obviously operating as a mouthpiece for the owners. He doesn't operate autonomously. He was asked for his opinion. He gave it. And I say this to you a lot. The commissioners are paid to be the whipping boys. In this case, they're all male. They're paid to be the guys who are taking all of the hits for the owners. They're paid to be the ones who are standing on the front line and are taking all the shots. I mean, that's what they're paid handsomely for. They run interference for the owners. So anything that Rob Manfred is saying has come from the owners, either directly or indirectly. So he's asked then about that statement and about backtracking on that statement that 100% we're going to have baseball this year.
So if you were 100% last week and you feel less certain, what percentage do we feel now?
You know, Mike, I do learn as I go along. Given how long my 100% prediction lasted, I'm not going to handicap it again, but it's something less than 100, that's for sure.
All right, so in other words, he's leaving room for doubt. But here's why the players find that to be just disingenuous and why Tony Clark, the head of the union, is ripping that to shreds. Because, and Jim Bowden said this yesterday on CBS Sports HQ, because the players think that if Rob Manfred sets a date right now, so it's middle of June, theoretically, they need, what, a month, 5 weeks? I'm not sure of the exact time. But let's say they get back to baseball by third week in July. And that would, of course, be if they started right now. If Manfred came out tomorrow and said, yo, back to your markets, let's do this thing, in a manner of speaking. And they reported right away and they got busy right away. Maybe it takes a month. And I don't necessarily mean the physical part of it, because a lot of them have been working out. They've been able to go to different facilities and work out. But they would, of course, have to get guys who are not in their home markets to their home markets if that's where they're going to play. They'd have to go through the testing and all that jazz. There were a couple of positive tests among baseball personnel and a couple of players, or at least one player. It's bound to happen. I don't know the time stamps on those either, right? So sometimes people are finding out after the fact that they've had COVID-19. So because of HIPAA regulations and because of privacy laws, we don't always know the circumstances surrounding the positive tests or the people who did or have tested positive. Anyway, there is, of course, still the health concern about getting guys back where they're going to be playing, taking the tests, making sure that they enter the bubble clean. But let's just say it's 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Well, if they would get back to baseball by the third week in July, that's essentially right about the time that the game would be emerging from its All-Star break. And yes, they play more than 50 games after the All-Star break. If they're going to play through the end of September, there is more than enough time to cram in 50 plus games. I don't know how many. Baseball has asked for, what, 70 something? I mean, we are baseball players. We've kind of gone back and forth. So this idea is being put out there by the players and by the union that this is another stall tactic from Major League Baseball. That the reason Manfred is saying, I'm not confident anymore, is so that they can hem and haw and drag their feet, do a little bit of a tap dance, and then ultimately waste a couple more weeks before they say, okay, now we're going to have a 50-game season. Because the owners are set on something between 50 and 60 games. If they have to pay full prorated salaries, they're set on something between 50 and 60 games. And so to come back right now, or to order the players back, to give the players a plan right now, would mean they would have plenty of time, ample time, to play 70 games. Maybe even more than that. Remember when we were talking about doubleheaders and how they were going to cram in as many games as possible? That seems like such a long time ago. And so the players are looking at this as a stall tactic. They're saying, hey, we just threw up our hands and said, we'll show up whenever you want us to. Just tell us when and where. And now Rob Manfred, on the heels of that, is saying, oh, I don't know if there's going to be baseball. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. He's not 100% confident. And of course, he represents the owners. And so as he's speaking on ESPN to Mike Greenberg, it's all about the owner's spiel.
The clubs are interested in one thing. The clubs are interested in finding a way back on the field, and it remains their strong preference to get back on the field with an agreement or at least the cooperation of the players.
I would have laughed so hard if he had said the clubs care about one thing, money.
We're going to play baseball in 2020, 100%.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I understand what he, if what the players are saying, this is a stall tactic and that they have to stretch it out so that they only can logistically fit in 50 games by the time the edict comes to show up here. And this is how many games we're going to play. You know, there's too big of a window right now for them to only play 50 games. I mean, that's underhanded. At the same time, the owners have made it pretty clear that they have a certain amount of money that they're going to commit to salaries. Like it or not, they've been consistent. They have said, however you do the money, however many games, whatever the percentage of your salaries is, we're planning to pay you roughly a third of what you would have made in a full 2020 season. And you can do the math 100 different ways as long as you come back to 33% of the salaries collectively. So let's just say for the sake of argument that Major League Baseball owners were going to pay, I mean, what I don't even know, just use a number, $1 billion in salaries. It's not that much, obviously. Although the players are now saying, hey, if the season gets canceled, or even if the season is nothing more than 50 games, then you owe us $1 billion. It's just, that's another thing, is that the commissioner and the teams now are stalling because they believe that if they would only order a 50 game season right now, there would be a grievance filed by the players. So it's another reason why they're doing a stall tactic, if that
makes
sense.
How long my 100% prediction lasted, I'm not going to handicap it again, but it's something less than 100, that's for sure.
So let's just say, for the sake of argument, I'll even tailor it down because it's easier. $1 million in salaries, obviously not the case, but let's just say they owe $1 million under a regular 2020 season. They only want to pay $330,000. Or you can add another zero to it if you want to do the billion. And the owners have been consistent. They want to pay a third of what they would normally have paid, and they're going to figure out a way to do it. And Rob Manfred holds that power. He just does, because they gave it to him in March. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up next, Randy Cross, College Football Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion with the Niners. Let's talk some football, shall we? And ice cream. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.